to wake up.
I guess.
What do you mean you guess?
It is time to wake up.
We have a job to do.
Well, I'm awake. I'm already awake.
The people are depending upon us.
But I think you're being a little bit too forward with this. Like, I think you need to be nicer.
Oh, okay.
Because the last...
Good morning.
Wake up.
Hi.
Hey.
How's it going?
Time to get up, okay?
Hey, all right. Hey, don't forget to make your lunch, okay? Get ready. You gotta make your lunch for today.
Get up.
All right. Okay, sleepyhead.
Wake up. Hey,
go ahead and wake up. Just
wake up. Are you awake?
What?
Get up.
You get up.
I am.
Okay, me too. I could never do that.
The nice thing?
Yeah. Matthew from Albuquerque?
Matthew from Albuquerque.
Static.
Hey, it's Matthew from Albuquerque.
Yes.
Yes.
How did we know?
I missed you guys yesterday.
Yeah?
You did.
Well, unfortunately, my phone was not working yesterday, so I couldn't ring out.
Oh, no.
Dude. Tell us all about it.
Well, it's funny. In the morning, I wake up. I have you guys on my speed dial list. If I press and hold one, I press and hold it, and know what? It did not want to ring through, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's tragic.
How you doing, Mitch?
I'm doing well. I'm glad that we're number one on your speed dial.
Yeah,
of course. Oh, my goodness.
What kind of phone do you have?
Oh, well, I'm using the landline.
Oh, wow.
Dang.
At my house.
I didn't even know people still had those.
That's old school.
Yeah, this thing actually has, we have like a one in the kitchen, and it's a wireless set with two mini handsets.
Wow.
Yeah, it has like an antenna.
Okay.
Yeah, it's nice. Hey, can I get a song request again?
Absolutely.
Mr. Stu, I need some, let's see here. Play any other Amberlynn song. This one is going to be for someone in my school. The name is going to be Carla Laranga, someone that I know. She's someone that, it's one of those employees up in the desk that I know.
Cool.
Okay.
For Carla.
Yeah.
How's your wife doing, Steve-O?
She's doing well, man. She's doing well. Baby's pushing on all of her organs and making her crazy, but...
Yeah. My mom
God
says,
is good, so...
Yes, it's God's gift. And,
amen.
Yep. Well, thank you, Steve-O.
Yeah, man.
God bless you guys. See you tomorrow.
All right. We'll talk to you later. Matthew from Albuquerque. We're going to play some Amberlynn for him.
For him. This is so nice.
I had it ready to go because I knew what he was going to say. I'm going to play a different song than I've ever played for him.
That's good.
Yeah. It's Amberlynn to wake you up on your Thursday morning. We got a lot on the show today. We'll talk about it coming up. Steve Omich.
In the morning.
Static Radio. Sons of Disaster. A song called Old Lonely Grave. Good morning.
Good morning. That song is so like, well, Maylene is so like bluesy. It confuses me because it's like blues and then hardcore.
It can blueses you.
It can blueses me.
Yes. Because it's so bluesy.
I'm so kabloosed.
We're turning that into a word. You realize that, right?
Kabloosed.
Kabloosed. Is that when you're like down and you're confused?
Sad and confused.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
You're kabloosed.
I'm kabloosed. So dumb. Well, you know what I'm going to say.
I love it. I'm saying it forever now.
Oh, I guess that feeling is far too often, so I guess we should just say it all the time.
There you go. Steve O and Mitch, good morning. Welcome to another day. Happy you're alive.
It is. It's another day.
It is.
That's a good thing.
It's crazy how time is going by. It is August 23rd.
Yeah, I'm glad it's today because I've been looking forward to this day for like a week and a day now. Because Celeste and I get to go to UNM and hang out with the PRs.
Okay, I was curious. I'm like, what?
A
why?
Week and a day.
Whose birthday is it? What did I forget?
I'm sorry,
I don't have Facebook, never know.
Oh, whatever. That's an excuse. Not.
Yeah.
No, Celeste and I will be out today. Kind of a sticker stop, but not really. Like, we'll have stickers.
It's a double sticker stop.
And we'll be stopped at UNM at the Duck Pond from 12 to 2. That's 2 hours.
Which is great. It's back to school week at UNM. And
there are
today,
festivities.
A ton of different I guess they said religious organizations. It's religious day. Oh, so we get to hang out.
I'm just glad they have that day so we can be there.
Exactly.
So
we'll be on UNM campus hanging out noon to 2.
Yeah, we'll have the decal. Yeah. I don't think you can drive your car there. If you have a bike or a longboard, we can put it on that.
That's true.
We'll have
giveaways. The new Project 86 CD.
Yes.
A few of those. The new House of Heroes CD. I saw your prize bin.
Pretty sick. We have a few posters. It's going to be cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's going down today, noon to 2 at UNM over by the Duck Pond. Coming up this morning, Michelle Schroff.
Yes.
Clay's wife. Clay's in every week from the Aspen Project. His wife actually just returned from a mission trip.
Yes, from Costa Rica.
Yeah. So we're going to talk to her today about how that went. And, dude, speaking of being far away, we're also going to talk about the Mars rover Curiosity follow-up from yesterday.
I was like, where are you going with that?
I'm talking about the robot. I don't know.
Well, it's kind of robot.
It actually did the robot yesterday on Mars.
That's what they had to do. Nothing productive, just the robot.
they did the Roger Rabbit, and they did the robot. It was amazing. No, I don't know. It moved, though, so we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
And what that means, because it's a pretty big deal, actually. So, a lot of stuff this morning.
Yeah.
I got a question, though.
Okay.
You guys, you're young. Do you guys own stocks?
No.
Like stocks,
you
know,
and
bonds
why?
And crazy.
First, when I thought you said stocks, I thought you were just trying to shorten stockings for Christmas. And I was like, yeah.
No.
No, stocks.
No, I mean stocks. Like Wall Street, stocks and bonds and 242.97.
No, I don't own them because I don't understand them.
Okay.
Just being
honest.
Which
doesn't mean that's not necessarily a good thing.
Right.
Because...
apparently, I should.
Going through the whole Dave Ramsey thing, that was part of it, is investing money and wisely and this and that and all this stuff. And I'm like,
because I thought it was wise. And then I heard all about the Depression. What if I thought it was wise?
Right.
It wasn't.
Thank you.
See?
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. So check this out. The Associated Press took a look at Apple's stock. Apple, of course, it just seems like it's
crazy. Yeah.
Going up and up and up and up.
Yes.
And so... they took a look at what else you could get for the cost of one stock.
Okay.
All right. Apple became the world's most valuable company ever.
Right.
Yesterday, after its stock jumped 2.6% to an all-time high of $665.15 per stock.
Oh, gosh.
One Apple share.
See,
I should say. Not.
I guess if that's a good investment, then... I don't know what I do because I don't want to spend that much money on something I'm not really sure of.
Right.
So
it's a share. And apparently, as long as they're doing well, it just keeps going up and up. And it's like, yay, money. That's money for me. But that's a lot of cash for one share now.
That's most of my mortgage.
$665.15. Yeah. Here's six other ways that you could spend that.
Okay.
Well, you could pay your mortgage.
I could pay my mortgage.
You could pay multiple car payments.
Yes.
Anyways, okay. Here's the ways that the Associated Press did it. They said, if you're really that big of an Apple fan, how about a Steve Jobs-themed gift set?
Yeah.
Including a St. Croix black mock turtleneck he wore. $185 for that, by the way.
No, thank you.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah.
A pair of dark stone wash 501 jeans. I guess that's what he wore.
Okay.
$50. Pair of gray New Balance running shoes. $150 for a pair of shoes, really? It's ridiculous.
Really, for that brand? No.
Yeah.
Okay.
You could also get the iPhone and the entire Beatles collection, because he was a big Beatles fan. Total, $662 for that.
I'm just stuck
on the cost of one share.
I'm just stuck on the turtleneck. That sounds awful.
Sorry.
That sounds terrible.
For that cost of one Apple share, you could buy 14 cases of Macintosh apples.
Oh, good.
For, a real apple lover. That's 1,040 pieces of fresh fruit.
No, yeah, thank you.
For less than the cost of one share. You could get two premium orchestra seats for the Book of Mormon, say. The Tony Award-winning musical.
Oh, for Broadway?
On Broadway, plus refreshments during intermission. That's crazy that's how much it is for two premium orchestra seats.
Yeah, I guess I'm not going to be going there anytime soon.
Yeah. Designer heels?
Oh, good. I'll go get that.
Jimmy Choo? I don't know who that is.
It's a designer
heel. apple red patent leather peep toe pumps.
Ew, I hate peep toes.
Yeah, well, those are $660.
That sounds like a waste as well, because what if those heels break? Then it's over.
I don't know. Dude, you could buy, let's see, you could buy an iPad, you could buy a ton of stuff for cheaper. That's ridiculous. $665 a share. More, you could buy more stock in another company. 21 shares of Microsoft stock for the same price.
That's so sad.
One share in Apple.
That's so sad, but you don't have as good of a chance of it if it's staying.
Like a return on your investment or whatever.
Yeah.
I guess, dude. Unbelievable.
Now's not the time to talk about stocks, but
yeah.
I don't understand. So you buy a stock and then hope that it makes money so you get money?
Right.
And
as long as the company does well, I guess, you know.
When do you get money? Like every week? Or can you
have to
like cash out?
No, you have to
cash out. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's lame.
Static.
Hey, this is Sunny.
Hey, Sunny.
Hey, you forgot one small tattoo.
One small tattoo.
Yeah. And that's that's forever.
Yeah.
That's
nice. I want to get that.
You can totally get that as well.
That's a good investment.
There you go.
I think
there
so.
You go.
She's
all
so right.
Thank you so
Thank
much
you.
For the call.
Hey, listen. Pray for the Duke City Dolphins. We lost one of our girls.
Oh, no.
If you heard about that. But
no.
She was murdered by her
wife.
Oh, dude.
Wow.
I don't even know what to say. You still there, Sonny? We lost her. 505-338-3700. Well. You know.
Yeah, be praying for them.
Wow, the Duke City Darlings, is that what she said?
Yeah.
Okay.
That is so sad. I didn't hear about that.
No, I didn't hear about that either. So now we have to check that out.
Yeah.
Google that. We'll get it going.
Yeah.
505-338-3700 is the phone number. Got some music from the Myriad for you now. Steve-O, Mitch.
In the morning.
Static Radio.
Play it. It's really terrific when you hear it.
Good morning.
Hello.
Steve-O and Mitch.
That's us.
Not going to lie, dude. I'm kind of saddened by the story we're about to talk about.
It is sad, but it's happened to all of us.
I had to try and think back to childhood.
So.
These moments in my life. I couldn't think of anything.
You can figure something out.
Okay.
Some scary moments in my life. Okay, so in Lee County, Florida, a 9-year-old boy went through the most terrifying thing that you could think of.
Seriously?
He, you know, 9 years old, you're kind of, well, you're a kid, you're kind of absent-minded as well. When it's like,
yeah.
He got dropped off at the wrong bus stop.
You're also very trusting of... You know,
people
like
to
people
do the right
authority
thing.
Around you, and
right.
So yeah.
So he trusted his bus driver, and
yep.
The bus driver dropped him off at the wrong bus stop, and wrong elementary school, wrong everything.
How does that happen?
I don't know.
Like, how does a bus driver? I don't know. Okay,
maybe some buses go to different schools, and
granted, it's like the first week of school, so maybe you know, I don't know. Maybe the kid got on the wrong bus.
I no, it's the right bus, wrong bus stop.
Wow.
She told him to get the bus stop. Bus driver told him to get off at the last stop, and so he did, and it was the wrong school. But the thing is, I used to ride a bus, and I always just knew my bus stop.
Right.
But I've had some pretty scary experiences as a child. Like, I don't know what's going on. Like, I'm pretty sure my life is over.
I've never been on a bus where it went to multiple schools. Like...
I've seen it just because I worked at a daycare, and I thought it was weird too. And I was like, wait, you're dropping him off at three different places?
Yeah.
Okay.
Poor little dude. He was 9 years old.
9 years old.
Dropped off at the wrong school. How did it resolve?
He said, I started to cry. I was shocked. He said, she didn't make any phone calls or try to bring him back. Waylon says, she didn't try to make any phone calls or bring him back to the school or take him where he was supposed to go. It was just, oh, well, you're not special. Get off the bus. Aww.
Dude, that's horrible.
That's so sad. And then the mom says, it's scary as a parent. You don't want to see any child go through this. I don't think the driver should have a job anymore.
Yeah, well, yeah, dude. The driver realizes, oh, this isn't your school. Oh, well, you got to go, bro. This is our last stop.
Yeah.
This is last stop. So you go ahead. You just get off the bus.
So what do you do with, like, as a child?
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
how would you react in that moment?
Well, you can't say, no, you take me to my right school.
Yeah. This isn't my school. Yeah, it is. Get off.
Right. Oh, it's okay. This is the last stop. Sorry, you're not special.
Have you ever had that moment where you're telling your kid, no, do this, and then you realize, I am so sorry. You are so right, 9-year-old child.
I've had moments where I have been like, oh, wait, you are so, you know what? And I've had to immediately apologize and say, you know what? I'm sorry, son.
It's like an enlightening experience. You're like, oh,
right.
Dang it.
I'm wrong in this moment.
Yes.
Because you have to. You have to. And so, but I'm dumbfounded. I, as a parent, would lose it
right.
if a bus driver did that to my child. Because one, you made him feel like an idiot. Because it's like, oh, this isn't your school? Well, too bad, because this was the last stop. So get off the bus. And thinking about a grown adult causing my child to cry like that and just kind of kick him off the bus and leave them there by themselves.
Yeah.
I would be seeing red.
It's the bus driver's job for like an hour to make sure that these kids are like
right.
safe and in the right place, I guess. But this scares me because I had some terrifying childhood experiences too where I thought I was a goner.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like anything actually serious now that I think about it. But one time, okay, this is my story.
505-338-3700, the phone number, by the way.
And I'll post it on Facebook, too, so you can get your comments in there. But one time, my dad took me to the Balloon Fiesta. Every year happens here in Albuquerque. And so
there's a gajillion people there.
Yeah, and they come from all around the world. Like,
right.
Now that I'm older, I know people come from, like, Germany to see these balloons. I'm like, really?
Okay.
Dang.
Must be
popular.
See them every year.
Yeah, every year, all around all year, actually.
Yeah.
So I'm really young. It's barely within memory. And all I remember is that I had to go to the restroom and there's porta potties. Like that's what you get. You get porta potties. And so my dad takes me to the porta potty and then I don't know what happens from there, but I'm stuck in the porta potty. Like I couldn't get out. And so I'm stuck. I can't open it. It's one of those really old ones where it's like locked and I just started crying, and I sat in the porta potty for like no less than 15 minutes, just crying because I couldn't get out, and I was screaming.
Oh my gosh. This is horrible.
And my dad didn't hear me. And so, I just remember.
And it scarred you for life.
Yeah. I remember some stranger, like, ripping the door open because he heard me crying. And I was fine after that. I just ran to my dad.
Dude, I just want to hug you.
There was no redeeming moment out of that story.
But that's it. These crazy childhood memories. But obviously, you still remember that moment. Dude, we were shopping a couple weeks ago, getting ready for back to school for our boys and getting shirts, you know, tops for them. And Luke, he's just, you know, chill. And he's my little dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I don't care how old they get. I don't care how dumb this sounds. I hold their hands.
Yeah.
Like, everywhere we go, crossing the street, walking in the mall, whatever, I'm holding their hands.
Because you know they're there.
Yeah, man. And they're my boys. And so, either I am or Chrissy is holding their hand. And he saw, like, some Lego thing or something. And he wanted to see it for a second. And Jack was looking at shirts. And Jack started to walk around the corner of, like, a rack, you know. And so, Chrissy was with him. And I was standing there with Jack. And I literally just turned to look at a shirt or something. And when I turned around, I guess he had walked across into another rack, you know, of clothing.
Yeah.
It was a big wide open area, like at the mall, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's not like aisles, and he wasn't far away from me. But I guess he turned around and realized I wasn't with him. I wasn't behind him.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I just heard him.
Oh.
And he was literally like 8 feet away from me, just on the other side of this rack. But because he couldn't see his daddy, he got so scared. Yeah, and it broke my heart.
Oh, my God.
So I couldn't fathom a bus driver.
Yeah.
One, you dropped my kid off at the wrong school and
say, get off the bus.
Me?
It's the last stop.
No apologies. No, sorry, man. It was my job, and this was the last stop, and your kid's not special, and if he missed his stop, that's his fault.
Yeah, so a 9-year-old boy was dropped off at the wrong bus stop on Friday afternoon.
Wrong school!
Wrong school. Like, it's not just like, oh, random bus stop, random house, which would also be terrifying, but just the wrong school. Like,
right.
How are you gonna walk up to, like, the secretary and say, this isn't my school?
Yeah.
this isn't really going to happen.
Right. So 505-338-3700, the phone number. What's crazy is I was reading an article this morning about a woman in was traveling to Paris this week, and she fell asleep because it's a very long flight, right?
Yeah, like 14 hours.
And so fell asleep, lands in Paris. She's still asleep. Two-hour layover, still asleep, slept through it.
Flew back.
Flew all the way back.
That sucks.
And the airline said when she got back, the airline was furious.
Because that's a free ride for her, too.
Yeah. And so then they had to, there were no more flights back to Paris for her on their airline. So they had to get her a different airline and fly her back. But now there's an investigation going on to see who's at fault. So who is at fault? Because she slept through her layover and was flown back to where she came from. However, where were the stewardesses and the people who saw this woman asleep? And do you wake them up, you know, and go, hi, I'm sorry. We've landed in Paris. So if this is your destination,
get off.
Get off. Because it flew back to where she came from.
Right.
So it's not like it was a connecting flight somewhere else. They went to France.
Yeah.
So who's at fault? Is the child at fault because he didn't get off when he was supposed to?
He's nine.
Did he not know what bus stop was his? I mean, it's the first week of school, so...
That's confusing. It's confusing for me, like, back when I was in college, and I had to get off at the shuttle. I'm like, do I get off here?
Right. It's like... 505-338-3700, the phone number. Or, of course, facebook.com/mystaticradio. We'll post that up there so you can comment on. Right now, latest from Anchor and Braille. This song's called Find Me. It's Steve-O and Mitch.
In the morning.
Static Radio.
Well, there's probably construction on San Antonio and Wyoming, as well as closed due to road construction on 2nd at Atlantic, and more road construction. The right lane is closed on Yale between Sunport and Gibson. That's your look at traffic.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast, right here on the Calvert campus. Phone number is 505-338-3669. That's 505-338-3669. And good morning.
Hello.
Talking about a nine-year-old boy who was driving this bus first week of school.
He wasn't driving the bus.
He was riding on the bus first week of school.
Singing this song and counting.
And all of a sudden, the bus driver said, we gotta go 55 miles an hour. We can't slow down. There's a bomb. Wait, no, that was speed. Never mind.
That was speed. Wrong story.
That would be crazy, though.
That would be...
I mean, right?
Right.
Right?
It would be really crazy, but that didn't happen.
Okay.
You know what else is crazy?
What?
He just got dropped off.
He got dropped off at the wrong school, the wrong stop, and the bus driver didn't care.
No, didn't care.
Bus driver didn't care. Said, sorry, bro, this is the last stop.
Get off.
You must have missed yours. Get off my bus. Get off my bus.
That's so sad. Yeah, the mom said she told him it was the last stop and to get off the bus. Are you crazy?
Unbelievable.
Are you crazy? And he said, I started to cry. I was shocked because he didn't know what to do.
Right. He's at the wrong school now.
Nine-year-old boy.
Probably doesn't have a cell phone because he's nine, which is, you know.
Normal.
See, these are those times where I'm like, see, man.
If he had a
cell phone. That's why if he had one, maybe I should get my boy's cell phone. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And I guess... It was scary for the boy, but the mom says it's scary as a parent. You don't want to see any child go through this. I don't think the bus driver should have a job anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
505-338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. He was only stranded there for a short time. His mom, obviously.
Yeah.
Got him.
Yeah.
And so that's good. I was reading a story this morning that, wow. Imagine this. Okay, this little boy stranded for, what, an hour, a couple hours
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, not
something
too long.
Like that. Not a terribly long time. But, you know, when you fly, have you ever flown, like, do you have friends who work for airlines?
I don't have any friends.
I don't either.
For airlines.
Part of me wishes I did because
me too.
I have a couple, but I've never used them, actually, to say, hey, man. Did you get the hookup?
Yeah.
But a family... I guess, had used some buddy tickets to travel cross-country with their kids. Just this last week, they were on vacation and they were flying home. The Saxon family. They were traveling. Man. Unbelievable. Trying to get back home to Virginia, basically. Mm-hmm. And they got to Salt Lake City. And they don't have standby tickets, meaning, you know, normally, hey, standby, oh, okay. We got some standby. Okay, cool, all these standbyers. No, they had buddy passes. And so that means after all the normal flights, if it's not full, then they go standby. And then at the very end of that, if there's no extra standby, then they go buddy system. Well, the next flight was full.
That stinks.
The flight after that was full. The flight after that was full.
Okay.
The Saxon family was stranded at Salt Lake City International Airport for 6 days.
Wow.
According to the local ABC affiliate, the Saxons got there last Wednesday night and didn't leave until this last Tuesday.
That sucks.
Weather was great. Flights were going in and out of scheduled, but it was Curtis, the dad, Nicole, the mom, and Dominic and Sadie, their four-year-old and 13-year-old. They were flying back to Virginia on buddy passes, basically vouchers, like I said, that airline employees can share with family, friends, lets them fly for next to nothing, but again, at the cost of
waiting.
Convenience, you know what I mean? And so, buddy passes, users, they're not flying standby. Like I said, they're at the very, very, very bottom of the list. And because it's August when everyone and their mother is traveling to or from their vacation spot before school started, there were no seats. Never mind the fact that there were four of them, you know.
Yeah.
So they remained at the bottom of the list. They were at the end of a vacation, into summer. They didn't have any money. They couldn't afford a hotel or even enough food for the family, for all four of them.
Yeah, I was going to say, how did they eat?
Dude, they slept on airport benches without showering, obviously. They ate one meal a day.
Aww.
For those 6 days. Dominic, the four-year-old, actually had to be checked out by paramedics at one point because they were worried about him because they didn't have any more money. But here's the deal. JetBlue, the airline, they had the buddy passes on. They didn't do anything wrong because those are the rules. And the rules are rules. And so, man, they say it's possible the employee who gave this family the buddy passes will probably land in hot water over this because there's pretty strict rules about the people who use the buddy passes being well-behaved. And the family obviously went to the media and said, we've been here for 6 days.
That's not anyone's fault, but theirs.
Right, and so it's not the airline's fault.
It's really not anyone's fault.
United Airlines, who I guess they've been battling their own problems lately, of course, heard about the buzz.
Yeah.
And so because of that, of course, as soon as the media showed up, United Airlines said, hey, we're going to give you free flights home.
Oh.
And so this different airline gave them free flights home. They could still be stuck there because they're still, you know, they were hanging out on the buddy system. But they got free passes and they finally made it home after 6 days of being stranded there. But it's like, whose fault was that?
That's
families?
No, I don't feel it's a family's poor planning.
Possibly fault. The employee for being like, bro, you got to understand. It's crazy time of the year. Like, you can totally use these, bro, but no, you may be in the airport for a little while. I'm sure they didn't think they were going to be there for 6 days.
That's more than a little while.
Yeah, dude, but I'm telling you, unbelievable. They literally lived in the airport.
Like, they would have had to, like, take out a loan to eat.
Yeah. 6 days!
That's too... And airport food is expensive.
Yeah, one meal a day was all they could afford because they couldn't get a hotel nearby. They couldn't... So, yeah. Talk to the local ABC affiliate, and
that is crazy.
As soon as it hit the media, then people were willing to help out. But
talk about crazy childhood story. That kid's never going to forget that.
Right, exactly. Their airport experience is living there for 6 days.
So, like the terminal.
Yeah, right. So what is your crazy childhood stories? 505-338-3700. 1 9-year-old boy, poor dude, left at the wrong school.
Yeah.
Was told by the bus driver to get off. It was the last stop, and apparently he had missed his stop, so he was stranded at the wrong school. This family stuck in the airport for 6 days this last week.
Yeah, no big deal.
You know.
It's great.
At least the two kids that were stuck in the airport, I know it's no consolation. Well, no, to me it's huge consolation. They had their parents. They were with their parents. This 9-year-old was dropped off at the wrong school all alone. By himself. Bus driver's like, gotta go. Sorry. Get out.
And
got a schedule to keep.
Yeah, exactly. They do have a schedule to keep, but still, this is kind of a child.
Yeah, 505-338-3700, the phone number. We got to take a quick break. Right back with your calls and your Facebook comments right after this. It's Steve-O and Mitch.
In the morning.
Static Radio.
A rollover on 520 northbound at Sun in the right shoulder. It's not affecting traffic, but it affects everyone who looks over at the accident.
I was going to say, man, yeah.
So don't look over at the accident. Just drive safely. There's also another accident on Montaño east of 2nd, as well as southbound Unser near Paradise. These are all accidents and a lot of people just looking around. So,
yeah.
So look forward. Drive safely.
Be careful of those areas.
Yes, that's your look at traffic.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast, right here on the Calvary campus. Phone number is 505-338-3669. That's 505-338-3669. And speaking of SOPO, we should probably call those guys.
We could call them. Why not just say hey?
You know. Make sure they're doing all right.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. You know, right. Thank you for calling Solomon's Porch. This is Ian. How can I help you?
Yeah, are you going to do that every day? That's my favorite.
Nah, but once in a while. Okay. If you call and I've already had a cup of coffee.
Okay, exactly.
Because if I haven't yet, it'll sound like Solomon's Porch. How y'all doing?
Good, man.
We're
how are you
good?
Doing? I want to be more excited like you, so I feel yeah. like I need some of your amazing SOPO coffee.
I will take care of you.
All right.
Thank you.
You know, that Captain Americano just, you know.
So good.
All right.
Helps the day go by.
So, perhaps that and a Black Mambo number 5?
Yes, a Black Mambo number 5.
And a Stever?
A Stever, bacon, egg, and green chili.
Okay.
Do
I'm good.
Okay.
I don't know.
Anything else?
I think I'm good. I'm good.
I think I'm good as well.
Okay. All right. I will get it going, y'all.
All right, Ian. Thanks, man.
You have a good
Thank
day.
You.
You too.
Later.
Later. Solomon's Porch, 4001. Sometimes Osuna Road Northeast.
Isn't that like... Okay, I interrupted you.
I don't care.
But isn't it weird when...
505-338-3669.
Isn't it awkward
That's
when
505-338-3669. It sucks getting interrupted, huh? Gosh, it's so bad. It's awful. It hurts.
Yeah, it does.
It's uncool.
I'm sorry.
You feel violated.
I'm sorry.
Hey, it's all good.
It's over now.
You know?
I was going to say,
yeah.
Isn't it awkward when you're like, hey, have a good day, and then you see them in like 5 minutes?
No. Why is that awkward?
Because then you're like, hey... Hope you still have a good day.
How's the day going?
Since the last time I saw you.
5 minutes ago.
Yeah, or just be like, hey, have a good day. Or like, hey, if I don't see you again, have a good day. And then you're like, that's a jerk thing to say. Even if I see you again, have a good day. Does that make sense?
Man, you overanalyzed like the smallest of phrases.
I had a lot of time to think as a receptionist one
yeah.
time. And so I was wishing everyone to have a good day. And I was like, I hope you have a good day. Or, hey, if I don't see you again, if you're not coming back, have a good day. And
yeah.
I'm like, actually, if you do come back and I do see you again, I hope it's still good. I'm sorry. That was rude.
What?
And everybody just looks at me like,
You way overthink little like salutations and goodbyes and stuff.
Maybe because I mean them.
Wow.
Maybe because I'm serious
They're
about it.
They're from the heart.
They're from the heart, yeah.
So when you say have a good day, you mean
have a good day. Have a good day.
You too?
See? I meant that.
I did too.
Okay.
Why would you want somebody to have a bad day?
Right. But like, I'm going as far as wishing someone a good day or hoping that they have a good day. This is too far.
It's been too far. Man. You gotta like calm down.
It's just one of those things.
Your mind is crazy.
Yeah, I haven't had a whole lot of coffee.
You seriously overthink everything.
Well, I have to. Okay, I wanted to make sure that I was being sincere in what I was saying. And so, what is...
Stever!
Hey.
Hey, buddy.
Mitch.
Hey.
I'm tracking with you.
Really?
Yeah?
Yeah, you know, yeah. It was like last year, I was thinking, why do I have such a hard time saying you're welcome? Like, someone will say thank you.
You say, no problem.
Well, I'll say, yeah, no problem, or, yeah. Yeah, it's nothing, but you're welcome.
You're welcome.
I thought, I was, you know, because I think I thought you're welcome meant like, yeah, you should thank me. You know, that's right. Thank me. You're welcome. But then I started thinking, wait a minute, what does it mean? It means, you know, thank you for whatever. You're welcome. You know what? I did that because you're welcome.
Because
you're welcome here, not that you're not welcome. You're actually welcome here.
You are welcome anytime.
I'm gonna go lie down. You guys overthink everything.
No, I understand. You are welcome, because it's like, it's not like you're welcome. Like that doesn't make any. That almost doesn't make any sense.
Apparently, I need to put more thought into my words.
Yeah,
because I definitely can't think of the last time where I was like, just so like, man, did I mean that when I said, "God bless you" when someone sneezed? Did I really want God to bless their life when they sneeze?
That's a whole nother thought.
Or did they, do you really mean that?
Now I'm never gonna say it unless I really mean it.
If you don't really mean it, you know, like, or like email salutations.
Hey,
you know,
sincerely,
Steve-O.
Yeah.
Are you one of those guys when, you know, walk by, hey, good morning, how you doing? You know, are you the guy who says that?
Yeah. Hey, how's it going?
Do you actually want to know?
Sometimes.
Right. So it's like, hey, how's it going? I'm doing good. How are you?
Great.
No, you don't say anything.
Oh, I don't?
Because are you one of those people? It's like, yeah, good. How are you doing? And then it's silent. And you're like, oh, that's a question. Dang it.
No, I usually answer because I'm attentive to what they're saying.
Okay, because some people don't respond, and you're like, "Oh, I understand now."
Yeah, no, I know.
Totally understand.
I also think though, if we were honest with every single person that walked by, you'd never get to your destination because every 8 feet, it's like, "How's it going?" Well, I mean, it's okay, but today, I woke up, I had this like crazy. Like dream last night, and so it's kind of affected my day. Hey man, could you just pray for every 8 feet? Ocean is theory. Best intentions. Good morning, welcome to the show.
Hey,
Steve-O and Mitch in the morning.
At first I thought you got a little bit of Ian from SoPo.
Yeah.
Cool.
A little bit.
At first I thought you were trying to be like really deep with what you're saying. Ocean is theory.
Well, the band is being, they're deep.
They're being deep.
Ocean is theory.
Ocean is theory.
Yeah.
Best intentions.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, I don't know what you just said, but okay.
It's a band.
Oh.
Wow.
I thought you were just trying to be funny or philosophical.
Oh, yes. So philosophical. Because you know me. I'm always so deep with my words.
Just always thinking.
Just always. Yes. That's how I roll. That's how I do. I'm looking for something right now. Ah, oh, there. Yes. This. Found. I want to talk about something. What do I want to talk about?
Aliens. Oh, no, you want to talk about curiosity.
Really?
Is that its
aliens?
Name?
Aliens?
Well, that's what I think of every time you play that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You know, there's no aliens, right?
Right, but
that
my...
we know of yet.
Oh, my gosh.
The curiosity is on the move. So for those of you who don't know or don't care... Because I was one of those people. I knew about this thing, but I just hadn't cared until I really thought about it yesterday. There's a robot on Mars.
Your mind has been blown.
A $2.5 billion robot. Can I just say that? $2.5 billion it cost.
From NASA?
Yep, good old NASA. The Curiosity made its first test drive yesterday on the soil of Mars. According to some images that were tweeted from one of the rover's cameras. I guess the team's finally done. On the tweet, it said, congrats to the mobility and surface teams. Details of the short drive were to be discussed at a later press conference. The rover expected to have moved forward about 10 feet, turn right, then turn back up and park slightly to the left of its old spot, which it did. You can see in the photo the rover tracks, mm-hmm. which is cool. Looks like little Wally tracks. So apparently the test drive is part of a health checkup the rover's been undergoing since arriving on August 5th. Eventually the rover is going to travel hundreds of feet a day over this ancient crater where it landed. And man, it's kind of cool. They're basically looking to see life, obviously, but not life you're talking about.
Right. No, I'm not. Okay.
Any kind of...
plants.
Organic life at all.
There's sand. They have
they're looking
volcanoes.
Yeah, they're
rainstorms.
Checking in preparation for collecting first soil samples, attempting to learn whether the Martian environment was favorable for microbial life. And I read another story because this is a one-ton rover that is on Mars. $2.5 billion, obviously. It made its first test drive yesterday, headed to its spot. The joystick, you got to realize, like, man, they have to shoot up directions to Mars.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So I had to research it because I wanted to know how it works, because I just think of these dudes sitting in NASA with, like, these, like, Xbox controllers or something, basically with, like, joysticks, like,
now
moving
this way,
thing.
This way.
But
probably like by like words.
Basically, it's actually powered off while they're doing the planning. They have 8 or more hours or so to do sequencing before it reaches. So they sequence all this stuff, you're right, with like key commands and whatnot. They'll send up a command load to the rover and tell it step by step what it needs to do. There are 16 drivers, for curiosity.
16?
16. It takes 16.
Oh, my gosh.
16 dudes. The rover, obviously the heart of NASA's $2.5 billion mission, which aims to determine if the red planet could ever have supported life. But they don't just focus on moving the wheels. They operate. It has a 7-foot robotic arm, which is equipped with a percussive drill and soil scooping gear, among other tools. And the drivers work to make sure samples snagged by the arm get deposited into the analysis instruments on Curiosity's body. So think of like a big old huge car-sized Wally.
That is crazy.
That's kind of what I'm picturing in my mind. I've actually never seen it, so
I should
totally Google it.
It says it's like the size of a small car.
Okay. I just want him to look like Wally.
He probably does.
I highly doubt it.
No, there's
so,
no face.
It gets its orders when it rises to greet each Martian day. But they don't want to plan things out too far in advance because priorities can change from day to day depending on what Curiosity finds. Or they're calling it Sol, so they shouldn't say it day to day, like sun to sun. It carries 17 different cameras to help it study and negotiate the crater terrain. And they are particularly interested in photos snapped by its 4 navigation cameras, which sit on its head. It has like a head-like mast, basically. So, yeah. So they're getting a stereo view of Mars from all these cameras. And it's kind of exciting, dude, checking
really
out all this
cool
stuff. I haven't cared, and I don't know why all of a sudden I do care. But I guess the idea that there's a robot on Mars just seemed kind of awesome.
Well, I think this is kind of like your childhood. Grew up thinking that Transformers was real, and now it's possible this could happen. But I just recently found out that Transformers are, you know, robotic-like things, but they have, like, aliens souls or something.
Well, no. Wait.
Are they aliens?
Where did you hear that?
I don't know. Maybe it was my dream. But are they aliens?
Are they aliens?
Yeah, like, how are these robots moving?
Well, it depends on your definition of alien, because it could be, like, because they're from another planet. They come from Cybertron. So it could be like aliens in the sense that...
Yeah, they're
like
aliens.
They're otherworldly?
Yes.
They don't have... But you say like they have alien souls.
I don't know.
They're robots, dude. I don't know. What do you want? Like,
How do they talk? How do they move? How do they... I don't know.
Why are you so overthinking everything today?
I don't know.
Man.
I'm just saying. This could be really like happening now.
Yeah.
Transformers could be happening. I'm just saying. And it is kind of like a small car.
I think what's exciting is because when I was a kid, Back to the Future 2 was huge. And in the year 2000, we were supposed to have flying cars and hoverboards and all these amazing shoes that tied your feet for you.
None of that happened.
None of that happened. So the fact that there's a robot on Mars seems pretty rad.
Well, it's kind of...
I guess we're getting there.
I guess we're getting there. It is exciting. I just didn't... I don't know. It's not hoverboards, so...
Wow.
What?
There's a robot on Mars.
Yes.
That we're talking to.
I understand. You are excited.
Awesome.
I understand.
Steve and Mitch.
In the morning.
Static Radio.
Catholic.
There's a rollover on 520 northbound at Sun. It's in the right shoulder, so steer clear of that. Watch out for it. There's also another accident on Montano east of 2nd, as well as another accident southbound Unser near Paradise. So be aware of all of that.
Yeah.
Be careful.
Yeah.
And
wow.
Drive safely. That's your look at traffic.
Traffic sponsored by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast on the Calvary campus. Rockin' coffee.
Yes.
Awesomeness.
Yes.
There's another one?
Yeah, it just showed up. Accident Tramway Boulevard at Comanche as well.
Dude, people, be careful.
People be crazy.
Yeah.
So that's, I think we're good after that.
Okay, 505-338-3669 for Solomon's Porch if you want to order breakfast on your way out to work. There you go.
That's a good idea.
They'll have it ready to go for you. They even have foil so that if you order a breakfast burrito like we do, they wrap it in foil so that it stays nice and warm for
yes.
us.
Yes.
I love that.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's pretty great. Did I mention they make them fresh daily?
Yeah.
So,
well, I don't know if you mentioned it, but they do that, and it's amazing.
Okay, we have to talk about something right now.
Okay, first...
I'm at a loss for words.
So, Celeste and I got a fish.
Yeah.
Well, she got a fish for her birthday.
You got her a fish.
We've decided it's like 80% hers and 20% everyone else's, so when it's like time to clean the tank, it's
like... It's like a static mascot.
Yes.
Whoa, 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 wait.
Like
wait.
If we can't
rewind,
like, if we can't like touch the fish, then someone that's more brave than us they have to do it.
Have to clean the tank?
Just touch the fish. And so we've kind of
and so
volunteered.
It begins. No, I know absolutely
just,
not.
Just to say, hey, you're so
absolutely
much
not.
More brave than us,
nope.
right? Yeah, you are.
I already have Jack and Luke both have fish tanks, and somehow. They won't die, the fish. Because I hate cleaning the tank.
Oh.
It's my least favorite job in the universe.
See, and yesterday, all day, Celeste is like, what if it dies? What if it dies? What if it dies? She's like freaking out. But I assured her that I have friends who are like,
please die.
I haven't cleaned this tank in 3 weeks, and there's, or like, it's just like a little beta bowl, and like, there's like 2 inches of water, and the fish won't die.
I'm telling you, dude, we got snails
yeah.
for Jack and Luke's tanks, and they're like, bing, spotless.
We don't have like a filtration system, so do they need a filtration?
I don't know.
Do you have a filtration? Like
yes.
The, see, we don't have that.
Both
we
of
have,
our tanks have like filters and all, but then you have to change the filter, you have to clean all that out, then
right.
You're supposed to switch out the rocks every blah, 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 wash out the rocks, do all that. I don't do any of that.
See, we have
ever.
A bowl. Like, that's all we have, and there's rocks in there, and we have the cute little, like...
Because here's the thing.
Thing.
You have to move the fish out, and then you gotta do this, and you gotta make sure the temperature of the water and the other thing's the same, and you gotta get this little droplets of water to ensure that it kills all the different bacterias and all this stuff,
all
and you have to make sure... So then... You end up moving the shark all this, and you're going to shock him, and he's going to be like, and then die.
The
and that's
shark.
How they die.
They
shock
oh,
you.
Shock.
It's like shock. It's like a shock to their system.
It is static.
No, like they're shocked. And then they freak out, and then it's like, this water feels different. This water feels different. And they die. That's what they do. They're fish.
Okay, here's the thing. I had a beta for like 2.5 years, and... He wouldn't die. I took him to the daycare I was working at, stayed there for like another year.
Yeah.
And finally they text me and they're like, so I just want to tell you, fish finally died. We're like, thank you. Like, but the thing is that thing was cold all the time. And so it never died. There's times I'm like, I think it died. I think, and I flick the bowl and it'd be like, and start
yeah.
swimming around again.
Right,
like,
right.
It's still alive. Don't worry.
Why did you get a fish for the station?
Because I'm so excited now. Oh. And that fish is beautiful.
505-338-3700, the phone number.
Celeste and I asked yesterday, what do you want to name the fish? Because we don't have any good ideas.
It's our static mascot, basically.
Yes.
We have 105 comments on Facebook.
105 comments, and some of them are voting for Buzz. We got a few for Shark Bait.
Yeah, which is my favorite.
Yeah, so there's a few
Finding
of them.
Finding Nemo, come on.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite movies.
It's such a great movie.
Reminds me
you
of my
cry
boys.
In the first 5 minutes.
I cry like 7 times, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I'm like...
It's one of the best... One of the
so
best.
Good.
I don't even care. I'm a grown man. Yeah, I cried.
No, I
like
cried
7
too.
Times every time I watch it with my kids.
Yeah, same with me and like Lion King. I
right.
just cry. I'm like, no,
yeah.
Mufasa.
Doesn't matter.
Every time.
Yeah, every time.
So we want to know, what are some good names
For a fish.
For a fish. We have a few of them.
That is our mascot.
Our mascot. And I think that's a pretty cool mascot. Not many people have fish as a mascot. They're like, ooh, we're the eagles. We're the bears. We're the knights. No.
We're the beta.
We're the beta.
Not the betas, because they can't hang out together or they'll fight to the death. So we're the beta singular.
We're as one.
We are, yes. Yes.
We fight as one.
Because there can be only one. He needs to be called Highlander. That needs to be his name, because there can be only one in the tank.
Okay, he's definitely a male because he's a beautiful beta.
That's my vote, Highlander.
Highlander. But have you seen him? He is like purple and
pink.
He's
the worst. This is the worst.
Highlander.
505-338-3700. Celeste and Mitch got a fish for the station, which I'm telling you right now, I'm saying this to the world, so everyone knows later, I will not be cleaning the tank. I am not taking any ownership. I'm not feeding him. I'm not helping out. Because what happened is my boys got fish, and they wanted fish, and they were excited about fish. And then we got a dog, and they help out with Indiana. They clean up the dog poop, and they put food in his bowl, and they give him water, and that's great. They're helping out with the dog, but they've completely lost all desire to take care of their fish, but they don't want to get rid of them. They love them.
So when do you do that?
I'm feeding them.
What days do you usually feed?
I feed them every day.
Okay, and so when?
Every night at bed. When we hang out together, we're going through The Hobbit together as a family. So we read The Hobbit, and then we pray together, and usually when we're praying, when we're done praying, we'll, you know, go into each room and just hang out with each one, you know. What's the best part of your day? And that's
so
Hawk Boy, song called Buffalo. Good morning, welcome to Static Radio.
That song should be called Fish.
Fish?
Just called Fish.
It's an animal.
But they keep singing Buffalo. Or
I don't know what they're singing, but it sounds pretty.
Being a man on a marinado. Something like that.
I don't know what they're saying either.
Yes. So we're talking about...
Fish.
Our fish. We've got a new mascot. Who is our fish? In the magical land of Static Radio.
We should name him Precious.
Oh.
What? No. That's awful.
My Precious.
Yeah, no, got it. Know who you're talking about. I'm excited. I was talking off air to you guys. We're reading The Hobbit to our boys right now, and we're at the point where they have to camp out. They're going up the mountain pass, and they're camping out in the front cave area, and they all fall asleep, and then, like, the back of the cave opens up because it was the entrance way to the goblins.
Yeah.
What?
And the goblins just kidnapped.
Have you
never
read The Hobbit?
No. You haven't?
You have to read it. You have to read The Hobbit.
So then the goblin... I don't want to say too much then, because the goblins snatch the dwarves and Bilbo. Gandalf.
Great.
Gandalf.
That part in the movie just got ruined
Gandalf
for me.
Gandalf gets away. Thanks. But,
Gandalf makes it.
They're about to be introduced to another character.
All the hobbits die?
No, there's only one hobbit. It's called The Hobbit.
You just said the hobbits were camping in front of the goblin
dwarves
cave.
The dwarves and the hobbit.
The hobbit. Oh, yeah. The hobbit is Bilbo, and he makes it because he's in Lord of the Rings. So
that's how we know, because this is a prequel.
That's how we know that he's around. Yeah.
You see?
Yeah. And there's certain dwarves you know make it, like Gloin.
Gloin has to make it.
He has to make it because he's Gimli's dad.
You know, I'm excited to see. Sorry, I'm talking about
that's
the movie.
That's okay.
But I'm excited to see what's the place where the elves live?
Rivendell.
Elrond. Rivendell. Elrond lives there. We were just at. Sorry.
Oh, BT Dubs. Kelly was talking. Kelly was.
What?
That's
by the way. By the way, BT Dubs. By BTW.
Yeah. Oh, that's BT Dubs. Yeah.
Okay. So we talked about this not too long ago. I think Lord of the Rings, the whole thing is kind of, we're all pretty big fans of it.
Okay.
And we were talking about how Sméagol and Déagol are friends. They're not related, right?
Okay.
And then I was like, well, I asked you on air, so we have proof.
Yeah.
I asked you if the Bagginses and the Tooks were related. And you're like, no.
Yes, they are.
They are. You told me they weren't.
No,
they're second cousins.
Right.
Such indignation.
Yeah, but that's like in New Mexico. Like, a lot of us are like second and third cousins here.
So
let's
gross.
Be honest. I have about 114 cousins.
Yeah, but they're second cousins, and you told me they weren't related.
Sorry,
and so
I apologize.
You're like, I'm a real fan. I read the books. I know they're not related. And
they
then last
related.
Night, Kelly was reading. He was like, I was like, wait, are they related? He goes, yeah, I know Bagginses. There's my second cousins. And he started talking about the movie. Oh, I was so angry at you.
Sorry.
Thank you.
I totally don't remember this, but cool.
Sometimes Michelle and I say things at the same time to emphasize the point.
Yeah.
Did you notice that? It came at you from both sides.
I know. All right. Wow. Okay. You guys done?
I'm done now. I'm over it, but I just had to tell you.
Okay. I'm glad you're okay now.
Messed up.
Hey, it's 8:17, which means it's time for traffic.
There was a rollover on 520 at northbound at Sun, so it's probably in the cleanup stages, if anything, by now in the right shoulder. Also, another accident on Montaño east of 2nd, as well as southbound Unser near Paradise. There's road construction. The left lane is closed on Tramway and Central. And there is nothing.
What's the red thing?
What's that? Water main break. Gosh, a lot of that happening lately. Yeah. Water main break Montaño at 2nd, and that's your look at traffic.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch right here on the Calvary campus. Rocking breakfast, lunch. Dude, I love when they make those chicken salad sandwich things.
Ooh, with like the cranberry, the craisins. Yeah. What are they?
Cranberries.
Cranberry raisins.
Yeah. No, they're cranberries.
And like almonds and stuff. So
right?
Good.
Oh, you can't have it.
No, I'm really hungry. Why can't you have it?
Allergy too.
Oh, really?
And fruit. She can't have fruit either. She can't have anything healthy.
You're allergic to all that is good?
All that is good.
Oh.
Pineapples, bananas.
Really? That makes me
sad. I mean, like, I could risk it and survive.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't do that.
I would just be uncomfortable for a few minutes.
That's how I was with milk and ice cream for a long time, and now I'm like, I'm done.
See, we're opposite, because I can have all the milk in the world and all the cheese, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
You can't.
I have to have coconut ice cream, basically, now.
Yeah, me and coconut
something ice cream.
It's so good.
Yeah. I'll trade you. Actually, no, I won't.
No,
I won't.
I'm pretty content. I'm good.
Like, fruits and veggies and good stuff.
Yeah.
I'm so sad for you.
You know, yeah.
So
she's over.
So Solomon's Porch, by the way.
Solomon's Porch. They have good stuff.
4001 Osuna Road Northeast. Phone number is 505-338-3669. That's 505-338-3669. Yep, you guys are going to be out
today.
This afternoon.
We are.
I forgot my sunscreen.
That's okay. My husband. I forgot mine too, but I'm having.
Are you allergic to the sun?
Yeah, that's called sunburn.
Oh no! You should wear what are those things that the Chinese wear now?
Face kinis.
I'm like actually worried now. Can you see the concern in my face?
Yeah, I can. If you wore a face kini, you wouldn't have to worry about that.
And then how would I do breaks?
Have you seen the face kini?
There's a mouthful.
They look like nacho
libre.
They do.
Which is actually a suggestion for the name of the fish, but we will be
really?
Out. Yeah, nacho. We will be out today, 12 to 2 at UNM by the Duck Pond.
That's right.
We'll be in the static gazebo. You can't miss us.
It's all pretty now.
Yeah.
I walked by, because like, okay, back when I first started going to UNM, it like was dying and stuff, and now I walk by
just a hole with water.
No, yeah, I mean, there was foliage, but it just didn't look very pleasant. And there's like birds and like butterflies, and there's the fountains actually work now.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's much nicer now.
But
we were talking about our fish.
Yes.
Oh, our fish now.
Yeah, that's right. Our
Does that
fish.
Mean you're taking because the 20% of responsibility?
Nope.
Yeah. He just said our fish. So we're gonna
I
have to
was
pull
told
him.
This morning that it is like 80% yours and 20% static radio mascot. I am part of static radio right now.
And so he has to help out.
Yeah. So I will help out by naming the fish.
Okay. You gotta
I will possibly
the
even put a little of the flaky thingies in there to feed him.
We have pellets.
You have pellets though, so that's totally different and weird.
He ate like 7 of them. Also, oh, that's right.
I don't know
delicious.
If you're supposed to do that.
Well, he didn't eat yesterday.
Oh, no.
I'm like,
how many are you supposed to give him?
I don't know.
I didn't.
You just I think you should read the back. Them. I'm pretty sure you're only supposed to give him like one. Static.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey!
How are you doing?
You know, can't complain. Shane!
Brother? Hey, listen, now me and Eric, I'm headed out to Gallup, New Mexico, and Eric was walking on the side of the highway, and we picked him up, and we're just talking. We've just been rolling down about addiction and, you know, its various forms, and Eric's struggling, and, you know, and he's just at that stage in his life where he really wants to make a change, but he doesn't know which way to go. Like you said, you know, I'm lost.
Yeah.
And we were talking about it, and I was telling him about Jesus Christ, you know? And how that's, you know, that's what we got to put our faith in. Ultimately, that's the only place that we can build.
That is who we build upon, yeah.
Yeah, that is who we build upon. So Steve-O here is one of my dear friends, and I wanted you to pray with him and give him, if you could, just a little bit of insight into that scripture, if you would.
Yeah, well, I mean, there are plenty of scripture to give insight into. But my question is, okay, you're traveling, Eric?
Yeah.
Where are you traveling to, man?
I got stranded out in Albuquerque, and like I'm headed home back to Gallup, and like Shane here, he picked me up. He's a pretty cool guy, and like he's been where I'm at, and like we just been chopping it up, and like we have a good understanding of each other, and like where we were, and where who we are, and who we want to be, and stuff like that. And it's just pretty
cool,
man.
Yeah. Do you, now here's a big question. You're headed back to Gallup. What kind of support do you have in Gallup? Do you have a church fellowship there? Do you have a pastor out there? Do you have anything like that out there?
We do. It's just like I'm not really a religious person, and like I'm kind of just like, you know, like being agnostic right now, and like you know, kind of lost, you know what I mean? Just stuck in a rut, and just really don't know which way I really want to go, you know what I mean?
Right. Let me tell you some things, because I would love to pray with you, but before I pray with you, I don't want to just pray with you and, you know, with this idea like, I'm not religious. Good news is I'm not really religious either, but I love Jesus, man. And he has been instrumental in my life. And I've been where you are and have seen the destruction that it causes. And I've also seen the redemption, the forgiveness through Jesus Christ, and have seen the other side. And so my immediate prayer to you and my immediate concern for you is for, man, your soul, for your salvation, for where you're at right now. You can turn to 1,000 different things, but ultimately, until you turn to your maker, until you turn to your creator, until you recognize that there is a God and he does love you, you will continue in this cycle, you know, because it's cyclical. And I think to Hebrews, and it says that we have to believe that God exists, one, and we have to understand that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And scripture talks over and over, and whether it's, you know, I could name 1,000 different scriptures, whether book of Jeremiah through the prophet saying, hey man, if you seek me with your whole heart, you will find me. So my challenge to you right now is are you seeking? What are you seeking? You know, you say you want to make a change in your life. So what ultimately are you seeking? Are you seeking God? Are you searching for a change that is going to be an everlasting change? Or is it something that is just temporal and you want to kind of make a change right now because you're in a rut and things suck and you want to get away from it? Are you willing to make that life change and say, you know what? I need Jesus, man. I need this because I know apart from myself, I can't do this on my own. I can't make it by myself. And I've tried, and I need to make a change. So what's going on with you, man?
Yeah, just like I've been talking about, like this addiction. It's just like, yeah, like, I guess I've never really looked in, like, trying to been searching for God, or, like, I've just been shunning him away and, like, turning him down, I guess, and it's just, I really do want to make a change in my life, and it's just, like, I'm not looking for ways, you know what I mean? I'm not leaning towards, like, God or anything like that. It's just,
those influences, it doesn't sound like are really there, though. I mean, you know, as we're talking, and the problems are heroin, and the problems are alcoholism, right? Just call it what it is, right?
Yes.
It's chemical dependency. But then the other influence in the support system that Steve was referring to, like I have in him, you know, come to church, be around people who have been where you are. He's been where you are, you know? And obviously, you know, I have. So, but I think that's what he's referring to. You know, it's just when he asks you, you know, do you have a church? When we get here to Gallup, do you have somebody that you can talk to like he's talking to you? That's what he means. You know, there's churches there, but you need to go to a church. You got to walk in there, and nothing's going to change until you seek God. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I would say even so, until you make that decision in your life that you want to make a change, and you want to turn your life over to God, then none of that extra stuff is going to matter, man. Because you have to make that decision. yourself. No one can force it upon you. No one can say, hey, man, it's not a religion where, hey, I'm just going to go to church and I'm going to feel better now and everything's going to be okay. You have to surrender your life to Christ and give it over. And the good news is, Bible says that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all suck. We are all filthy and just stupid human beings. But God loves us so much that he sent his son to this earth. Historically, you can look it up, man. There's historical evidence that points to the fact that Jesus Christ came to this earth, lived this sinless, perfect life, showed us the way, and died. Skyhawk Drive, The Getaway. Static Radio, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the show. What a beautiful morning. We were talking about fish, naming our mascot.
And God has called us to be fishers of men.
Hey, there you go. And our dear friend Shane called on his way to Gallup right now with Eric. If you're just joining us, man, you missed out on a great conversation. And played a couple songs and was able just to share Christ with a gentleman named Eric.
Yeah.
Who is now on his way to Gallup. Who is now a new believer in Jesus, who has dedicated his life to him. And I want to challenge everyone listening. I want to challenge you right now listening to lift Eric up in prayer. He has made an admission that, man, he's a sinner just like all of us, and he needs a Savior and wants Christ to take over. So now he's going to, there's some things that need to happen, you know?
Yeah.
And he's going back to Gallup. In fact, Jed on Facebook, hey man, lives in Gallup. So if you know of a church that he could hang out at, attend, some people that can come alongside him, please post that to Facebook. I'll get it to Shane so he can get it to Eric.
Yeah.
But Shane has a Bible for him, and
it's really cool. I mean, yeah. We obviously most of that was on air, but our listeners immediately
respond.
And Randy says that he's, you know, he's a 13 years clean in meth addiction.
Yeah.
He says, go to church. He said he ended up in prison, but it changed his life.
Wow.
And he's given his life to the Lord, and
yeah,
it saved him.
His name is Eric, and amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing to see what God can do in a life. And so be praying for him. And if you live in the Gallup area, post it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/mystaticradio. We'd love to find fellowship. We would love to find a church, people that would come alongside Eric and help him, man, because
yeah. That's
it. We're a family. And sometimes we're a dysfunctional family, and sometimes, man, sometimes things are just crazy. But I'm thankful for moments like this because it's a reminder that we need to just, man, come together, and all the other crap can just melt away,
yeah. You
know, and embracing one another and loving one another and guiding one another in love, you know. Wow, I'm floored.
That was crazy. And then Celeste tells us that she prayed for that this morning.
Yeah.
Okay, that's specifically. Here's the thing about it is that, like, okay, gosh, this is going to sound terrible, and it's not meant to, like, give excuse to anybody to not, you know, be diligent and to not, like, be disciplined in their walk with the Lord. But for a while, I needed to shed off a lot of the religious stuff that I was doing because there wasn't much life left in it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I stopped, you know, praying in the morning, you know, and I would pray throughout the day, but it was just because it became such a religious thing. So anyway, I hadn't done that in probably well over a year.
Wow, yeah.
And I was really, like, you know, in the evenings and everything, just praying, like, Lord, you know, I know that you'll bring that area back to my life and my walk with you when you want it, when your Holy Spirit deems it so, you know, such the right time. And this morning, for some reason, you know, I felt this, you know, really heavy tug, like, get down on your knees and pray right now. And I was like, but I'm going to be late. And I wasn't a minute late, but I was just, you know, and it was specifically for the morning show, which is not something I do in the mornings. You know, I pray,
right.
I pray other times throughout the day for the station, but, you know, praise the Lord that he works in that way. And it was so crazy. Oh, I'm even remembering last night, you know, like, in prayer, like, asking, you know, God, like, I'd really love for you to give me something to pray for. That way I can see you in action and I can see your character. I want to see more of you. So show me what to pray for and then answer it so I can see you and tell other people about it.
Right.
Bam.
And it's easy.
Boom, this morning.
It's amazing to see God work, because I'll tell you what, I had a hard time when we got off the air because, you know, as we've been talking, there's a lot of warfare going on, and sometimes it can be difficult. And man, pray for the station. Pray for us here in ministry. Sometimes we can grow weary. And just last night at my church, I was talking, and I asked for prayer. Like, hey, man, some of this ministry stuff is starting to affect me and get to me to a negative place.
Yeah.
I need prayer, and I want God to work, and I want God to move in my life, and just a reminder. And so to have that conversation this morning with Eric, with someone who genuinely just like, hey man, I'm broken and I need a savior this morning. The fact that God used this station, used this morning show. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm just like floored. Like, thank you, Lord,
yeah.
For still using me. Thank you. It's amazing how Eric's the one who, you know, man, welcome to the family, and yet it ministered to me so
yeah.
much.
Right.
It just, wow, brought, I guess, refreshment?
Yeah.
So, Static.
Yeah, this is Jed.
Hey, Jed.
Yeah, you know, about Gallup, it's not about, you know, I mean, people here have faith in God, but it's more like a competition.
Right.
There's not very many churches here you can go to and, you know, actually hear the word of God. You know, it's more of like they repeat the same thing like every Sunday.
Hmm.
So, yeah, so Eric has to, you know, it's probably, you know, it sounds sad, but he's got to be mostly by himself, you know. But, you know, if he finds something out there, you know, it's good for him, like, I used to go to a church that, you know, talked about having faith, and faith comes by hearing, but it seems to repeat itself over and over. And, you know, that's just what Gallup is, you know. It's one of those towns that, you know, they fight about everything.
I'll tell you what, man, that doesn't mean God can't get a hold of it, and I'm willing to bet there's somebody out there in Gallup.
Aren't the Benallis out there?
Good question. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
They are.
Okay.
Well, not specifically in Gallup. They're in a name that I can't pronounce.
Okay.
But they're
man.
Very close.
Thanks for the call, Jed. We will definitely be lifting up Gallup as a whole in prayer as well, because that's the thing, man. It's easy to get frustrated and want to be like, you know what? I'm done. Mm-hmm. I'm done.
Yeah.
I've tried. But right now, you know what? As this listener and new believer needs that community, and yeah. It's possible to have that, you know. It absolutely is possible to have that, and that's what is necessary. And I mean, we can't forsake that just because of our experiences or you know. And I'm susceptible to that. I'll
yeah.
tell you right now, I'm very susceptible to that.
I think everyone is.
Everyone
yeah.
is.
You
yeah.
know, but it's different because you only have your perspective. But
right.
you know, if it takes the extra 20, 30 minutes to drive to a place where you can actually have that sharpening of fellowship and
yeah.
that true teaching of the word. I know Landell personally. We went to School of Ministry together, the
yeah.
Benallis, you know. And I fully entrust, you know, like God's doing amazing stuff out there. So
absolutely.
Plug in there.
Static.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Destiny.
Hi, Destiny.
From Gallup.
Hey,
hi.
Cool.
I heard the amazing thing that just happened for Eric, and I am very happy about that.
Yeah.
And I do have a church that he can go to, and it's a very good church.
Oh, cool. What's it called?
It's called Grace Bible Church.
Okay.
My sister goes to church there, and it's a really, really good church.
Grace Bible Church.
Yes.
Okay, cool. We'll have to post that to Facebook.
And the pastor there is Pastor John Luganville.
Okay. Right on.
It's really good, and I'm sure it can really help him a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for calling,
yeah,
Destiny.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye.
You too. 505-338-3700,
the phone number. It's been an incredible morning already.
Yeah.
So,
dude.
You know.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry. I think even from my point of view right now, I'm like, God just answered that prayer like pretty amazingly.
Pretty clearly.
You know? Yeah. So,
yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Absolutely. We're going to take a quick break, and coming right back, we got some Project 86. But cool. If you're listening in Gallup, we want to hear from you. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. new friend Eric.
Yes.
And yeah, so hit us up on Facebook, and that way we can pass along to Shane or Eric, and right on. There it is. We'll take a quick break. As I said, Project 86. It's Steve-O, Mitch, and Celeste.
In the morning.
Static Radio.
Josh White, let me see your hands. Kicking off the 9 o'clock hour. Good morning, Steve-O, Mitch, and Celeste.
We made it.
It's nine.
It's 9:03.
Made it to the 9 o'clock hour. You guys actually going to be out broadcasting live, hanging out on UNM campus today, which is it's a big deal, man. We're going to be on the university campus.
I am so excited for
Every
this.
Every time this happens, something happens.
What do you mean?
So I'm stoked.
God is preparing
like something
us.
Good?
Okay. Oh yeah.
Okay. I'm like, what do you mean?
No, it's like, no, it's good. Just for some reason, I always get stuck with the headology philosophy dude. That's like, let's talk about this. I'm like, oh man.
Let's talk about dinosaurs, bro.
Okay, fine. And you know, like it's cool. It's great. Yeah. It's just I'm like, okay, did I study up my Lee Strobel?
Is that why? Yeah. You know, scripture does tell us to be prepared to give an account.
Yeah, exactly.
Like in season and out. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because as we talk about this, let's be plain, man. There are those seasons, those out seasons. And I have felt that recently. I know you were saying you have felt that recently. Mm-hmm. And man, but it doesn't mean we can't still be prepared and we shouldn't still be prepared. And God's gonna move.
Right.
Despite us.
And apparently.
It's not like we're going out there to be like, oh, we're going to go convert people. We're just there. Right. And people are like, you're Christians. And then they start throwing junk in your face. It's like, okay, well, let's talk about that for a second. So it's not like an intention of mine ever to go out and be like, let me convert you. Because that's totally, like, no. I freak out with that. Like, but it just happens.
We're going to be playing some static radio on the on the UNM campus. Yes. Hanging out. You guys have the static decal.
Yes.
And so if you're listening, you want to go meet Celeste and Mitch.
Yay. No pictures, please.
Stop it.
No.
Man.
We got t-shirts.
Divas.
We do. We have static t-shirts. We have the new Project 86 CD.
Yeah. House of Heroes new record.
House of Heroes. We also have...
you guys are giving away some cool stuff.
Yeah. I have a few like vinyl.
Ooh.
We were like saving stuff from other stuff.
Oh, dude, it's UNM campus. Of course, you got to have the vinyl, bro.
It'll be good. Damn.
The hipsters are going to be standing in line to win that.
To win?
Vinyl, yeah. Bro, for my record player
what
that
should
I got
we do?
At Urban.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Which totally probably happened.
Yeah, yeah. So what you do that's is funny. For the hipster vinyl giveaway, you ask who's been listening to Static the longest before it was cool. That's what you do.
Okay, so where would
I've
that
been listening
that
to Static
from?
Since, you know, 97.
Like, oh, that's funny.
Before anybody knew it was Static. That's because we've only been static for a year.
When we were doing the Static 500, I had a confession time with Will, and I was like, okay. When I was like 12, and I lived out in like Placitas, like the middle of nowhere, and cassettes were still in. So I like recorded C-Dub, I think, while he was talking, and then all the places where he would take breaks, I did my own fake breaks.
No way!
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
It's amazing.
Yeah. It's cool to see, like, you know, God placing that on your heart at such a young age, and now here you are doing that very thing.
Well, it was like one day, and then I was like, gosh, you're stupid. You know, you do that self-talk. Like, you're dumb. You're never going anywhere. And I never tried to get here.
Yeah.
It just kind of, and then I was like, oh, yeah, I did that. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That worked out. So,
very cool. Well, you're going to be broadcasting live today, noon to 2 at UNM campus.
By the duck pond.
Yeah.
With sunscreen.
2 hours. I asked my husband to bring sunscreen.
What SPF
good
is it?
Job.
50.
Oh, that's good.
What is it? Okay. I don't know what this is.
50, that's higher.
Well, yeah, I get that. It's
SPF?
Just a random number to me.
No,
what does
no.
SPF even stand for?
Sun
prevention flares.
Fires.
Sun prevention fires?
Sun prevention of fire on your skin.
Of flames.
Of your skin is silent. It's
I can
there.
Just say
solar
that it works.
Solar preventative formula.
Come on, look at how white I am. It works great.
Sun, I don't know.
Yeah. So we'll be out there for 2 whole hours. Come visit us.
Yeah, hanging out on the UNM campus. We do that every single week, actually. Not on UNM campus, but hang out in the community every week.
Yeah.
And just kind of bro down. Want to hand out the static decal and the static paper and give away some stuff.
Hand hugs. Actually, you know what? Hand hugs are still kind of
creepy.
They're a little intimate. So maybe these hand hugs are
hand
still.
Hugs?
Yeah, like this. Well, actually, here.
No.
Hand hug.
You just put your thumb?
Well, here.
Okay.
Ready?
Hand hug.
But I don't understand how that's. Okay. Whatever.
It's like a hug. It actually kind of feels.
It just looks
way,
like a weird, hug. Like spacey. You see that in a sci-fi movie, how they. hey, salutations. And then they put their thumbs on each other's hands.
That's like a sensor on the other side. That's how you know who it is.
There you go.
This is not really.
Wow. Yeah, whoa, you're impersonating. And then a big fight scene breaks out.
Then their watch, you know, zaps them back to the person they're supposed to be. I've seen those movies.
Wow. 505-338-3700, the phone number. And I want to talk about something. We're talking about being on the campus of UNM today and you needing to be prepared.
UNM.
For the guy who's like, well, you know, what about dinosaurs? And what about... I was reading a story yesterday, actually, about a Baywatch star. I know.
Awesome.
I know. Donna DeErico? I don't know. I never saw Baywatch, so I don't know who she is. But she was recently injured on a mountain in Turkey.
Oh.
While on a quest to find Noah's Ark.
Wait, Baywatch went on a request?
That's what I thought.
Not Baywatch. Like, a former, kidding. You know, person.
That's amazing.
From Baywatch. Wow. I don't know.
Right, but it's weird that they were on Baywatch and now they're looking for Noah's Ark.
Why is that weird?
I just didn't expect it.
Okay. I want to know what happened in the story. She got injured because of
and somebody in
running up the mountain. Can you see this?
No. Slow mo. She's hurt. She's down. Apparently, the former model and actress was on Mount Ararat with the documentary film crew when she slipped in a rock slide. A colleague caught her before she fell off a cliff.
Oh my gosh.
Abort.
Yeah, climbing any mountain can be dangerous, obviously, and Ararat, no exception. But apparently, she has been risking life and limb in search of what many people, obviously, believe to be a myth. I was reading this article from Yahoo News, and it's like, wow, it's very condescending and like, one moment of the story said, the Ark story, scientifically implausible, of course, simply wouldn't be enough space on a boat to accommodate two of every living animal, including dinosaurs, along with food, water, and necessary to keep them alive. Still, biblical literalists who believe that proof of Bible's events remain to be found have spent lives and fortunes trying to validate their belief. And so, sadly, she had to abandon the dream of searching for Noah's Ark, returned to L.A. for now because she's recovering.
Yeah.
But she wants to go back as soon as it's possible to complete her mission. Apparently, out of fear of abduction.
Okay, two things.
Yeah.
There's a difference between proving something scientifically and proving something historically. So if you want to bring it historically, like every other, like... culture from the start has some account of a big giant flood. So you can on that one. Scientifically involves having a hypothesis, being able to recreate the situation, which you cannot do historically. So we'll not have any of this prove it scientifically talk. You cannot do that with historical things like Jesus, like Noah's Ark. So anyway, that's all I'm going to say for that one. Secondly, where is Mount Ararat? Referred to as Mount Ararat now?
Yeah.
Okay. Because well, I'd heard some other stuff of it being like a different mountain somewhere else. Like.
Yeah, most people, there have been a few things. In fact, they say Noah's Ark has been quote unquote found a few times, actually. Nearly 40 years ago, Violet Cummings, author of Noah's Ark Fable or Fact, Creation Research Center in 1973, claimed that Noah's Ark had been found on Mount Ararat, according to her book. Of course, there was no actual photographic evidence, they said. In 1993, CBS aired a two-hour primetime special titled The Incredible Discovery of Noah's Ark. It included testimony of George Jamal, who claimed not only to have personally seen the Ark on Ararat, but to have recovered a piece of it. Unfortunately for believers, it was a hoax. He was later revealed as a paid actor who had never even been to Turkey.
Thanks, guys.
In awesome. March 2006, a team of researchers found a rock formation on Ararat that might resemble a huge ark nearly covered in glacial ice. And a few months later, archaeologists from a Christian organization found another formation, this time at 13,000 feet in the Elbrus Mountains of Iran. And so there have been those who have claimed to have found it already, but doesn't stop different researchers, different teams going out searching Mount Ararat and places around there to try and discover it. Static.
Steve-O, this is Robert Vigil from Los Alamos.
Hey, man.
How's it going?
It's going. How you doing?
Good. Hey, I'm calling in late in regard to Shane and Eric.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they're still listening or not, but something good for Eric. If if it exists in Gallup, and it probably does, would be Celebrate Recovery.
Yeah, man.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. We do it here in Los Alamos.
Okay.
And it would be a great way for him to be loved by the Lord. It's a Christian 12-step program.
Okay.
It's anonymous. And it would probably be a really good place for him to plug in.
That's a great, we have had a few people call in from Gallup, a few different churches that I've forwarded on to Shane. But I don't know about Celebrate Recovery out there. But I agree, fantastic program.
Yeah, if you could relay that to Shane, that would be really good. And
yeah, man.
We'll keep praying for him. And I just wanted to speak a small thing on burnout in ministry.
Yeah.
My pastor set me straight on it.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, there you go.
And he said, hey, you got to figure out if it's the enemy or if it's God funneling you in a different direction or the same direction. Mm-hmm. But he brought out something else. Could it be Job, the story of Job that's attacking you, you know, that the enemy's attacking you?
Huh.
Oh, okay.
And I thought that was interesting because, you know, we had done the concerts and we partnered with Static in Los Alamos. And it got taken away from us, you know?
Yeah.
And so maybe sometimes it's us. Sometimes it's our sin. Sometimes it's the enemy. And sometimes it's just like the story of Job. It's like, hey, you're doing this, and the enemy's the enemy. He's not a friend.
Right.
And I just wanted to put that little part out for anybody that's listening, you, whoever, just as a help. Sometimes it's not just what we think it is.
Right. Right on, man.
Anyhow, appreciate it. Love you guys, and I'll let you get back to your show.
All right, thanks,
thank
man.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
And good news, Shane texted, and they are still listening. So
cool.
Very, very cool. Got the information. Celebrate Recovery.
Sweet.
And would be absolutely fantastic. So, yay! So, anyways, Noah's Ark.
Fish!
Talking about...
It's funny how we've come full circle.
This Baywatch star who is, currently back in L.A. Apparently what happened is she tweeted, I guess, a photo of her injury, and they said, you got to go because... of kidnappers or, you know, over there, it's very scary and dangerous. And now, hey, there's a former TV star on our mountain. This could be some good money.
Former
and so,
American TV star.
So, yeah, absolutely. And yes. So they had to get her out of there for now. Mm-hmm. So she said she'd love to get back as soon as possible because it's very important to her.
That's cool.
Yeah, she says, I know what I'm doing. This has been a lifelong dream of mine. I believe in the Bible. Referring to Genesis 8:4, which states on the 17th day of the 7th month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. And so she wants to find it. She said she's not going to stop. So
that's
Static.
Hey, you guys talking about biblical archaeology. I know a guy. His name is Steve. And I can't seem to recall his last name right now.
Okay. Steve's a good name. That's cool.
Yeah.
Steve, you know, friendly.
Yeah,
he's doing a dig. He's a very prominent biblical archaeologist, and he basically just straight up read in the Bible where it talks about the location of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.
And he is really sure that he found it.
And, is that like Dr. Collins?
Yeah.
I know Dr. Collins.
Steve Collins.
Isn't he here?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm based out of here. He's done some stuff here.
He's teaching for School of Ministry. Wait, he's teaching for School of Ministry.
Will you guys knock it off?
I'm sorry.
Gosh, I'm turning you off. Okay. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, basically that he's found all kinds of evidence of mass destruction in this valley that used to be a huge city from like mid-Bronze Age or something like that.
Yeah.
And he's concluded that what it was an airburst. Have you heard of an airburst? Like there was one in the Siberian wilderness at some point in the 90s, I guess.
What's an airburst?
It's basically when a bunch of ice or like meteor stuff is falling down and it hits the atmosphere, and it hits the atmosphere so fast that it pushes part of the atmosphere in where it creates almost a vacuum where space is connected with the surface of the Earth for just a tiny space of time, and all this superheated matter that got melted by entering the atmosphere hits the ground and just burns everything immediately.
That
and then sucks it back up into space. So yeah, it's just everything is gone.
That's amazing.
Wow. Yeah.
Pretty, yeah, check out that Siberian airburst.
Yeah. Right on, man.
That kind of stuff. Anyway.
Well, yeah. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Dr. Steve Collins is totally teaching school of ministry.
Oh, what class is that? I'm going to crash.
He's incredible. And CalvaryABQ.org, he's done stuff here.
Yeah.
Special services, evenings, hung out with Pastor Skip, and talked about what they're doing over there, and always crazy interesting.
I always bring my big notebook.
Yeah. So you can check that all out, CalvaryABQ.org. Let's keep the music going, yo.
Yeah.
Right now, some Kenosis, All My Tears. It's Steve-O, Mitch, and Celeste.
In the morning.
Static Radio.
MXPX Far Away right here on Static Radio. Good morning, 931 now.
That's not fair. You can't do that.
Can't do what?
You can't say one day, oh, no, that's totally fine to have that picture on our Facebook. And then
I didn't say it was totally fine. Did I say it was totally fine?
Yeah.
Did I say I wanted to change?
You said, well, we can change it later. It's not like right now. You don't have to do it right now.
Yeah.
So she didn't do it right now.
Yeah. Good morning. Why are we having awe? Like, what a day.
Because it's funny.
What a day!
It's real life.
Celeste took a picture of us a few days ago, and now it's our cover picture on Facebook, so it won't be up there much longer.
Well, I wanted that one instead of the van. Like, yay, we have a van. I'm sorry. Let's talk about something interesting, please.
How about reinventing the toilet?
Which needs to happen, because we read a story a few days ago where toilets are randomly exploding.
Yeah, from 2000, what was it, 97 to 2007, something like that?
2008, I think.
Yeah.
So if your toilet is before
they've recalled like 3.7 million toilets or something
like that. There's so many things to be afraid of in this world. Yeah. Now I have to be afraid of my toilet.
Yeah, because it could explode.
At any moment.
If it was made, there's like 7 different manufacturers. Yeah.
So reinventing the toilet sounds like a brilliant idea.
Well, Bill Gates.
Okay.
Microsoft. He's actually putting in $370 million into this project.
I hope it works.
Of reinventing the toilet. I'm being totally serious.
Bill Gates of Microsoft.
Yeah.
Is making a computerized faux toilet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where you can... Okay.
One uses microwave energy to transform human waste into electricity.
Oh, I just threw up a little bit.
Another captures urine and uses it for flushing for later. To save water.
Ew. Wait, what? Ew. No. How do you do that?
Ew.
I don't know, children. I'm reading a story. And still another turns excrement into charcoal. Like, so that you could use it for charcoal. Are you guys going to be okay?
No, my stomach is hurting so bad.
This is all part of Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. It's a competition to reinvent the toilet for the 2.5 billion people around the world who don't have access to modern sanitation. A lot of people don't have it, you know what I mean?
You know, it's very true.
2.5 billion.
Yeah, I actually went to Costa Rica last year this time, and they did not have proper sanitation. The sewer ran along the side of the road.
Right.
And just being honest, I was picking up trash and totally got sewer water all over me. It was the worst. It was so sad.
Why are you picking up trash in the sewer, Michelle? I'm just kidding. Sorry, I was trying to be funny. It didn't work.
Like, wow, you guys.
Steve was just like determined to be mean to us today.
No, I'm not determined to be mean.
I could like say the smartest thing in the world and he'd still be like,
I'm still waiting for that. Hey!
See? There you go.
You just proved me right.
You're out of control.
Yeah. So, no, there are 2.5 billion people around the world who don't have access to that, you know?
And so does everybody get one? Is that where all the millions of dollars goes to?
Well, scientists from around the world are taking up this challenge, and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation have announced some projects Tuesday that will be getting more money to take the ideas to different labs in different cities so that they can, in turn, get them out to the people. So... it's unbelievable the response they're getting, but what's crazy is, they want to try and create, basically, ways that you can utilize this? I don't know. Ways that you can... What are you doing?
I don't want to see your face.
Okay, thanks. Yeah. So, to pass the foundation's threshold for the world's next toilet, it must, number one, operate without running water, electricity, or a septic system.
That's interesting.
It cannot discharge pollutants... preferably must capture energy or other resources and operate at a cost of 5 cents a day.
Wow.
Yeah. See, so they're seriously trying to reinvent the whole thing.
I mean, I want to immediately just say that sounds really like all the stuff you're saying that it like uses urine to flush urine and poo to flush poo or whatever. Like that sounds really not like sanitary, but I want to say that they're the scientists and I'm sure some part of it it's sanitary, right? And it works out. Like,
are they like straining?
I just don't feel like this is a good idea.
People still dig holes, bro.
I'd go for the hole at this point.
Over a new remodel.
I hear it's healthier.
Urine flushing urine. Yeah, I would take a hole. I would walk out into the forest every day.
Don't ever, ever go on a mission trip. Ever, ever, ever.
I went on one.
Really? How did you handle it?
Well, I had my own apartment, so.
Man! Yeah, reinventing the toilet, I guess, has the potential, obviously, to improve lives, the environment, and to help out in different areas. But yeah, flush toilets waste tons of
water.
Yeah, drinking water, even.
But
fail to recapture reusable resources, potential energy and solid waste, and they're impractical in many, many ways.
I think only 11% of the water on Earth is fresh water, too, and that has always scared me.
Mm. Yeah.
So I guess that's a good idea, but so do they have to have a plumbing system?
Well, no, that's the purpose, is they want to reinvent it for worlds, like developing worlds, not necessarily worlds for plumbing systems, and that's the purpose. That's the point is, I remember one time talking to a guy in the men's ministry here at Calvary. We were at the men's retreat, and he was talking about a mission trip to Uganda, Africa, and they were installing toilets into this village, and they didn't have a system like that before. Right. And he said, They used what they would call squatty potties. You know what I mean? You'd basically squat over a hole. So they installed these things, and these villagers still didn't get the concept of it. So he said one morning he walked into a stall, basically, into the outhouse, the bathroom, where there was a now toilet, an actual working toilet, and there were footprints
on the
rim of the toilet because they were still standing on top of the toilet because they didn't understand it. So a lot of people don't have the quote-unquote luxuries of running water, of, indoor plumbing. And so this is the purpose of Bill Gates, the Bill Gates Foundation, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, is to try and reinvent this so that it can go out to the developing world so that they can have resources like this. Because imagine if you could create a toilet that reuses all that
as
energy. Yeah, that could help run things in the village.
Well, that's great.
Thanks, Les.
It's cool. I don't know what you want me to say. I told you, no matter what I say, I can't win. So I'm just going to covering the mic.
Amazing. You guys will be out broadcasting live from noon to 2 today at UNM at the Duck Pond.
Yes.
Yeah? Excited?
I'm still mad at you.
That's fine. Yes. Fine. Totally cool.
We will have the static decals as well as
high fives and friends.
High fives. We have Windex and paper towels as well.
Mm-hmm. Just so if you want us to put that on like your face, we could do that.
We could do that.
Yeah, because you can't really park there.
Yeah, but you can't really park. You have to kind of walk. But if you have a long board or something, we could totally stick that on.
Yeah.
But we'll also have giveaways. We have Project 86 CD. We have a few shirts. Lots of stuff to give away.
Longboard. Now I want to go longboarding.
Sounds amazing.
Can I just take the mic with me and be like, what's up?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, you can.
And I'll fall.
Absolutely.
Great radio.
So there you go. So today, noon to 2, be on the lookout for the Static Radio Gazebo out at UNM campus near the Duck Pond. If you're out there, go say hi to Celeste and Mitch. They will be hanging out. The latest from Future Force.
Indeed.
Now. How's that? Steve-O, Mitch, and Celeste.
In the morning.
Static Radio.
For sleepers, song called Conditions. Oh, speaking of conditions.
Oh, we have a few weird conditions right now.
Static Radio. Good morning.
Hey.
Steve-O, Mitch, Celeste, and Nate Heitzig.
Yes.
Yeah, what's up, guys?
Like bye, Celeste.
Bye. Bye, Celeste.
Bye, Celeste. Hey, buddy.
What's up, man?
How are you?
Bang. Doing well.
Dude, you're telling us a story off the air about your lawn. I didn't know this was a positive thing.
Yeah.
I just keep thinking of Indiana Jones and tarantulas, and
dude,
this is terrifying to me.
Yeah, spiders aren't generally a good thing. Like, you're like, hey, dude, I've got 1,000 spiders in my house. No one's like, oh, that's awesome.
You're right. Oh, that's great. That's good news.
Yeah, so I was mowing my lawn the other day, and I see this huge freaking hairy spider with green fangs. And like, it's big enough to where you can see its eyes.
Right.
Yeah, you can see its eyes. And so I captured it, and I was looking, and I was like, Janae, come look at this. And I thought it was a tarantula or something. And so I was freaking out, because then I mowed my lawn, and I started seeing multiple spiders crawling through my lawn.
Yeah.
And as any, you know, frightened father would be, I'm thinking, this isn't good. There's spiders in my lawn. You know, I roll around in the lawn. I don't want them crawling in my nose and going arachnophobia on me and
right.
hatching babies and crawling out of my orifices. It's not
oh
good.
Oh, gosh.
So I went online and started researching this, and apparently spiders in your lawn is part of a healthy ecosystem for your lawn.
That is so weird.
Yeah, it actually said, do not kill the spiders. This is what it said. It said, do not kill the spiders. They're the most healthy thing for your lawn because they kill. It said that they're undiscriminate predators, that they will kill anything. They'll kill other spiders. They'll kill any bad spiders or any bad bugs that are supposed to be in your lawn. And they're jumping spiders, what they're called. They're called garden jumping spiders.
Heck no.
They're terrifying.
Heck no.
They're terrifying. So
now you can't go sit in your lawn.
Well, like, I don't know what to do. Let's just say that. But I was reading this thing, and it said that one guy said that it looks like his lawn is moving.
Ugh.
And I found out that some, like, lawn enthusiasts will actually, in the springtime, right when the you know, grass starts to grow, they'll get spiders, put them in the lawn, and have them mate in the lawn to protect the lawn.
Oh, wow.
Mm-mm.
See, all I can say is better than mice and way better than cockroaches being there.
Dude.
Yeah.
Like, well, I understand
we
mice
have
are
both.
Cute.
We have both. We have cockroaches in our house, too. We get our house sprayed consistently, but every day we find about 5 to 6 cockroaches
are
in the house.
Are they alive, or are they, like, fighting for life?
Well, sometimes they're alive, sometimes they're fighting for life. It just depends.
Ugh.
We found out it's because...
back.
The city of Albuquerque has issues with cockroaches. Did you know that?
I did not.
Issues?
You can actually call the Water Utility Authority Company, and they'll send someone out to treat your sewer systems, because what happens is they come through your drains at night.
Oh, my god!
They're in the sewers of Albuquerque, and they come through
what?
The drains
You're
at night.
You're destroying my co-host here, because that's her biggest fear is cockroaches.
No, it was terrifying. The other night I was sleeping, and I felt my hair moving, and I thought it was just because I was, like, rotating or something, and I put my hand in my hair, and I feel legs. And there was a cockroach in my hair.
That
in my
is
freaking hair.
I'm never going to your house.
No, it was terrifying. It was terrifying.
You
and
have
this
to
is
plug
the thing.
The drains.
I knew if I said something because my wife was sleeping, she wouldn't go to sleep. She wouldn't sleep in the bed.
Right.
So I just tossed it off and I just slept. And the next morning I rolled up and was like, so honey, guess what happened last night? She's like, what? I was like, there was a cockroach in my hair. And she got up. She's like, what?
Yeah.
No, she hates them. She said, I hate cockroaches more than black widows.
I would rather have a mice infestation in my house than cockroaches in my house.
That's until your house smells like mouse poop.
Yeah,
well,
dude.
At least they're cute.
And that draws the cockroaches. And then you have cockroach mouse poop.
I can't handle this. That is so disgusting.
No, so now,
in your hair. How
so
did
now,
it get there?
Well, this is where it's gotten now. Now with the combination of spiders in my yard and cockroaches in my house, I'm having tarantula night terrors. So now I'm waking up in the middle of the night thinking tarantulas are crawling in my bed, throwing the covers off, and yelling, tarantulas! it's out of control.
What's
I need
your name,
therapy.
Man?
No, man, it's
no one gets a night's sleep. A good night's sleep.
Yeah.
I had a dream the other night that I was laying in my bed, and it's one of those dreams where it's so real because everything in your room is exactly in the place that it should be, even like laundry that you left on the floor.
Everything's
exactly the way it was when you went to sleep. And in this dream, a spider was on a web just coming down to my face, just slowly lowering down, lowering down, lowering down until it finally hit my face, and I jump up and I go, spiders! And again, my wife freaks out, and she's looking around the room. Man.
No spiders.
And you're like, I'm good, and then you go back to sleep.
Let me tell you, insect night terrors are the worst night terrors.
Yeah. I used to wake up, I used to have night terrors with cockroaches, and I'd wake up, and I'd just start hitting everything. And I was single at the time, so it was just me, so no one got hurt.
Yeah, you can't do that when you have babies.
Yeah, right, that's what I'm
Especially
thinking.
Especially when they come in your room, like, at 2 o'clock in the morning crying. If you wake up hitting things, you get, like, a lawsuit on your hands for child abuse. Why did you hit your kid? I thought he was a cockroach. That doesn't help. That does not help in a court of law. Okay, so your kid's like a bug now? No, that's not what I'm saying. I literally thought he was a cockroach.
Child was a nuisance to
you? I literally believed he was a cockroach.
Right.
Oh, so you're on meth? No,
right.
I thought he was a cockroach.
Right.
Night terrors. How do you say that?
You can't. It's over. You've lost your life pretty much.
MyStaticRadio.com if you missed any part of the show. Oh, mystaticradio.com/mornings. You can download the podcast of today's show. What a crazy show.
Yeah.
Amazing show. Finally, I want to leave with this. Eric, new member of the family, called in this morning. Battled addiction, is wanting to make a change in his life. We got to pray with him.